Good morning. I think we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you for joining us early this morning and for finding us. I hadn't been to a session down in this group of meeting rooms yet. My name is Mary McCauley, and I work in the Office of Communication at the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. And I'll just kick us off by introducing our first presenter, Ms. Stephanie Marshall. Ms. Marshall has had more than 20 years of health communication and policy experience in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. Stephanie serves as the National Vaccine Program Office's Communication Director. Before she was at NVPO, she was Director of Pandemic Communications in the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at HHS. As the Director of Pandemic Communications, she worked closely with NVPO, CDC, and other HHS agencies to coordinate and leverage pandemic communication strategies and activities. Before she was with HHS, Stephanie was a vice president with Porter Novelli, a global public relations and social marketing firm. At Porter Novelli, she managed some of the firm's largest accounts, including the American Legacy Foundation, the Alzheimer's Association, Eli Lilly, and the National Institute of Mental Health. She began her career on Capitol Hill as a legislative assistant to Senator Grassley and later served as the Director of Government Affairs for the National Health Council. And this morning she's going to talk to us about the results of some research that she conducted. Her presentation's entitled How Mothers and Female Influencers Perceive Childhood Vaccination. Stephanie?
Thanks, Mary, for that nice introduction. I thought you were going to edit it down a little bit. Thank you, everyone, for coming this morning bright and early for our first presentation of the day. I'm here to talk about some focus groups that HHS conducted in November of last year. And our intent was to really sort of get a better understanding of perceptions of childhood vaccines and concerns about vaccine safety, get a better sense of the kinds of information women want about childhood vaccines, and to get the reactions to some sample messages and message approaches. And I want to make two points. What's noteworthy about this research is that it was conducted in the middle of the H1N1 pandemic. However, the research was designed before last April. So while our focus was on childhood vaccines and vaccine safety, it was not specific to H1N1. But certainly the H1N1 was a very important backdrop to this research. So I think when we think about the findings, you know, that's kind of in the background and can't ignore that fact. The second point, you know, we've all done a lot of research on childhood vaccinations and perceptions. What I had wanted to do with this research was to really try to get a better sense of the approaches and how we talk about this topic with mothers of young children. You know, we've done a lot of testing of messages, but I really wanted to get a sense of, can we talk about it in better ways? Because my sense when we created the protocol was, how can we do a better job? So that's also sort of something to keep in mind when I talk about the findings. So just very briefly, we held 9 telephone focus groups with 3 audience segments. One was fully vaccinated mothers. The second was partially vaccinated mothers. And I want to make a point, the partially vaccinated mothers are mothers who were altering the schedule. They ultimately fully vaccinated their children on time, but they tinkered with the schedule. And then the third group were female influencers. And these were women who, the way we screened for them were women who read national newspapers, followed national broadcast news, read blogs on a regular basis, participated in local community events, so town hall meetings, school board meetings, potentially sent letters to the editors. And the reason why I wanted to include them was because I sort of envisioned a Thanksgiving Day table, where young mothers talking about vaccines and whether or not it's important to vaccinate their children, whether or not to adhere to the schedule. I was curious to whether or not a woman at that table, perhaps an aunt or a sister or a mother, would speak up. So a woman who maybe wasn't grappling with these issues herself, but who would speak up, who would maybe would be hearing our messages in the national news and would raise the issue of the importance of vaccination. So I wanted to get a sense, do those women exist, and would they be willing to talk about vaccination with a young woman in the family or in a neighborhood setting? So that's why that group was included. So nearly 70 women participate in the focus groups from almost, from 60 some odd municipalities in 25 states. And the telephone focus groups allowed us to get that national perspective. And because we also weren't testing visual materials, the telephone groups actually worked quite well. So the three big findings that emerged with respect to the perceptions of vaccines was that moms reported recently hearing about concerns regarding vaccines, the risks of vaccination, concerns about vaccine safety. They did not report recently hearing about the benefits of vaccination. And I think that's one, the H1N1 backdrop may be at play a little bit here, but I think it was interesting that women really couldn't talk about hearing about the importance of vaccination. The second big finding was that all women had concerns about vaccines at differing levels, but they all had concerns and they all had many, many questions. But they all at the end, and these three findings cut across all three groups, they recognize that the benefits outweigh the risks, but they want reassurance that the decision to vaccinate was the right decision. We heard a lot of moms who said, you know, I vaccinated on time, but gosh, everyone said to me, are you sure that that was the right decision? So when we talk about the importance of vaccination, I think we need to sort of think about the need to reassure that decision. So we heard repeatedly through all of the groups, even with the groups with female influencers, they have many, many questions, and they want their questions answered. And their questions are very detailed, very specific, and in to many respects, very sophisticated questions. Questions about ingredients came up a lot, not just what's in a vaccine, but where were those ingredients purchased? Were they from foreign countries? Are they environmentally safe? They wanted information statistics in their local community. How many children are not vaccinated? What has that meant for vaccine-preventable diseases and any reemergence in their community? They really want all this information, and they want answers to it. When we probed a little bit about trusted sources of information, the healthcare provider emerged as really the key trusted source, and that's something I think we all know from previous research. They also cited HHS, CDC, NIH, and local health departments. And I think sort of that specificity with local health departments may be related to H1N1 and the work that many of you were doing at the state and local level around the flu pandemic. They do get information from health websites, so they cited WebMD, parenting magazines. They found that random blogs, celebrities, and industry were not trusted sources of information. So we tested three message tracks. One, the benefits of vaccination, continuing disease threats, and social responsibility. And then we tested three approaches. A scientific, informational approach, kind of just the facts, ma'am, kind of approach. One, an emotional engagement, talking about the importance of vaccines, the importance of being a good mother, a good community citizen. And then we tested the messages through a more anecdotal approach. And I'll talk about these three message tracks and three message approaches. With respect to the benefits of vaccination, participants were receptive to messages about the importance of vaccination, and information about the consequences of vaccine-preventable diseases really was important to them and reassured many of the moms that they were making the right decision to vaccinate. And on all the slides for the messages, I've included a few quotes from some of the participants, and I won't read those, but they're up there for you to see. With respect to continuing threats, the participants recognized that many of these diseases still exist around the world. Some were familiar with the measles outbreaks, some of the mumps outbreaks, so there was some degree of familiarity. And it was helpful for them to sort of be reinforced that many of these diseases are, quote unquote, a plane ride away. The sense of responsibility, we probed there and actually got a little bit of traction. Many were unaware that by vaccinating their children or even themselves protects those who can't be vaccinated. That was new to many of the women. They didn't realize that some segments of the population can't be vaccinated, and how young babies who have not yet received certain vaccines, it's important that their actions protect those children. And that was kind of a new sentiment to many of the participants. Then in the three delivery approaches, the informational scientific seemed to resonate the best with people. People wanted facts, statistics, straightforward information. Many wanted the actual citation of where findings came from. What was the journal? What are the exact findings? Is it the WHO that issued it, CDC, HHS? They wanted that level of specificity. The emotional engagement, and this is, we sort of dropped in how the tracks resonated. The emotional engagement part, where we talked a little bit about more that social responsibility, being a good citizen, protecting public health, protecting the community, we got kind of mixed results. Some liked it, some thought it sounded like a commercial, some thought it wasn't appropriate for an authoritative source like the government to sort of use an emotional tone in giving this information. And then the third approach we tested was the anecdotal approach, and we used the story of a fictional couple who were grappling with vaccination decisions. And I would say this approach resonated the least among the participants. They thought it was a little contrived, judgmental, preachy. They didn't like it, and they asked, is this a true couple? And we had created this story for the focus group, so the answer was no, it was fictional. And that really, they said, you know, you're really just trying to mislead us. They didn't like that at all. So just briefly to summarize, you know, how do moms feel about vaccines? They're concerned about safety, and they've got lots of questions, and they want information, but they need to hear more about the benefits and the value of vaccines. They really sort of need to hear it and want to hear it. They trust the government. They trust the work I think many of you are doing at the local level. They trust certain websites. They distrust others. And they want to receive information in a very straightforward way. Many express the desire to get information before the medical appointment and in written formats. And then lastly, you know, how can we use some of this information to inform our communications work? You know, I think the target audience is the moms. What we found in the groups were the female influencers, while they were engaged in the topics, they really didn't sort of give us any sense that they would talk to sort of that younger mom at the Thanksgiving Day table that I envisioned. Information has to be clear, straightforward, again in that written format. And again, we always have to be respectful of their concerns. So. That's a lot of information. I'd be happy to talk, you know, take questions and certainly talk with people after the presentation.